Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, The Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Filthy dreamers. You know, up to this point, this is about apostasy. This is about men that crept into the church, heretics, people who deny Christ, deny the gospel, deny the grace of God. And that's why he wrote that we should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. God sent the gospel. The first man that heard the gospel, of course, was Adam, when God clothed his nakedness. That was the first one that God preached the gospel to. Amen. And then we've had the gospel preached to us now, and it's passed on from generation to generation. And the gospel's never changed. It's never, ever changed. Abraham before had the gospel preached unto him. And that was hundreds of years before the law was ever given. And so that's what we're talking about, contending for the faith. But he goes, gives us some identifying marks of these type of men that come into among the church and slip in among the Lord's people. And he says in verse 4, he gives three marks by these certain men that's crept in unaware. First, he says they were ungodly men. Ungodly men, lacking a reverence of God. No regard for God, no fear of God. Secondly, they were lawless. They turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. They believed that the grace of God freed them from all external authority. They became authority unto themselves. You know, when they took grace and presumed upon it, they just became an authority unto themselves. Grace freed them from all authority, all external authority, all commandments. And then not only that, but it says, and they denied the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They were deniers of God, deniers of the Lord. And they were deniers of God in their deeds and how they acted. And that's what he says, they despised dominion. They revealed that they were serving other masters rather than the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want no other master. Don't want no other Lord. You remember when a man was a slave, and at the end of 7 years, he is allowed to go free. And if he had a wife and children when he came in, they could go with him. But if he had a wife and children that was given to him by his master, they had to stay. But when he got ready to go, if he loved his master, what they would do is they'd take him to a door and put his ear up against a post and drill a hole in it. And that hole, every time you saw a slave or a servant with a hole in, he says, I love my master. I want to be under subjection to him. I don't want to go out free. And these men wasn't that way. They didn't have that hole in their ear. They didn't have that hearing ear that Christ gives them. He didn't mark that ear. And beloved, whenever a man denies Christ, denies God, denies the Lord Jesus Christ, they're serving other masters. And one of the things that I said about Brother Scott is that he was obedient, he was faithful to his master. He was faithful to the charge that God gave him. God gave him a charge of the gospel. Gave him a charge to a church. Gave him a commandment and a charge to be true to the word of God and the gospel. And that man did that faithfully, year in, year out, decade in, decade out, and died on the battlefield, contending for that blessed faith. And we want no other master than the Lord Jesus Christ. Not going to deny him by how I act, if I can help it at all. And then he gave us three examples, three explicit warnings about these kind of people. And people who deny the faith, people who don't contend for the faith and turn away from the faith and become apostates. First of all, they were destroyed because of unbelief. It says there in verse 5, remember the last part of the verse? Destroyed them that believed not, even though they were brought up out of Egypt. And then those that rebelled against God, in verse 6, the angels which kept not their first estate and rebelled against God, rebelled against His authority. What happened to them kept in everlasting chains. And then the sexual perversion of those people that deny the faith, turn from the gospel. Talking about Sodom and Gomorrah giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh. Strange flesh. And so now he continues to describe these apostates, these heretics, these people who turn from the faith, who turn from the common salvation, who deny the faith, who turn from it and follow these men. And he gives some descriptions of them continually. He says in verse 8, likewise. Likewise. When he says that likewise, he said, like these that I just mentioned. Unbelievers destroyed. Angels that rebelled against authority. Sodom and Gomorrah who went after strange flesh and sexual perversion. He says, these likewise, these filthy dreamers, likewise like these people. He describes their sinful conduct and he does it in three ways. First of all, he says these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Three ways. Likewise, like those in Sodom and Gomorrah, and the reason they defile the flesh, these filthy dreamers, they defile the flesh. That's the first thing they do. Like those people in Sodom and Gomorrah, they defile their flesh. They went after strange flesh. Men after men, women after women. Incest and perversion of every kind was going on. And exactly the way it is today. I mean, it's out in the open. And that's the way it was there. And that's why our Lord said, as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. As it was in the day of Moses, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. And beloved, and this went on in those days. And it was out in the open. And it's getting out in the open in these days. And the more open and more accepted these sexual perversions, the more accepted these fornication, more accepted these things are, the sooner that Christ is coming, the more we know that Christ is coming. But the reason they defile the flesh is because they're filthy dreamers. They're filthy dreamers. They defile the flesh. How do they defile it? These filthy dreamers, it refers to false prophets who prophesied and preached their dreams instead of the Word of God. How many preachers have you heard say, I had a vision, or I seen a vision, or I had a dream? Well, let me show you what God says about them in Deuteronomy 13. Deuteronomy 13. We're going to be tried one of these days, very, very severely tried. I'm not going to mistreat anybody, God helping me. But I'm not going to deny the Word of God when I have to face it. Whenever when we talk about sexual perversion and men going with men, women with men, and doing that which is unnatural, and going against the very nature that God gave them, and they, of course, they reprobate people. Those are reprobate people. But there'll soon be a time that if you ever say anything about that and say preach from it, say anything about it, that you'll be subject to a law and subject to being fined or subject to having your ministry taken away from you, putting in jail. But we'll see whether we'll be able to deal with those things or not, because it's coming. It's coming. But look what he said here about false prophets and dreamers. He says in verse 30, chapter 13, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go to after other gods which thou hast not known, let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. Now listen to it. For the Lord your God proveth you. That means he's trying you. When somebody gets up with a dream, somebody gets up with a vision, and the Lord showed me this, and the Lord showed me that, and I had this dream, and God showed me this, took me up into heaven, and I seen this, that, and the other. He says, the Lord your God proves you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, or you're going to follow that dreamer. Is that the one you're going to follow? Look in Jeremiah with me. Jeremiah 23. That's what he says, these filthy dreamers. And I tell you, it is a filthy, what he means by filth is spiritual filth they're talking about. Spiritual filth in their minds, in their flesh, in their motives, in their desires. They're not, when they're talking about that, you know, said, boy, he's filthy minded. He's filthy mouthed. And that's what he means, these filthy dreamers. Everything about them is unclean. Everything about them is dirty. Everything about them, they have no purity about them, no cleanness about them, no holiness about them, no righteousness about them. Though they claim all these things. And look here in Jeremiah 23 and verse 25. I have heard what the prophet said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name by Baal. People get up and they start saying, well, the Lord showed me this in a dream and I saw this happen to you in a dream. And they scare people and they tell about, oh, I saw this glorious dream and I walked on the streets of gold and, oh, and I saw this, that, and the other. And they go on and on and on and people say, oh, hallelujah, that fellow, God give me a vision like that. He said, they're the prophets of the deceit of their own heart. That's what he calls them, filthy dreamers, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams. And then in verse 28, the prophet that had the dream, let him tell a dream. He that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What's the chaff to the wheat? Is not my word like a fire, and saith the Lord, like a hammer that breaks in pieces? Therefore, behold, I'm against the prophet, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophet, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. And that's what these men are like. He refers to them false prophets who prophesied by dreams. And these false prophets were liars. Self-deceived. And Jude is describing men who claimed to have visions and dreams and substituted them for the Word of God. Anybody that substitutes anything for the Word of God don't have nothing to do with it. If they ain't got a thus saith the Lord with what they're doing, just leave them alone. Leave them be if they ain't got a thus saith the Lord. My soul, what if they ain't got a book, chapter, and verse, don't pay any attention to them. And not only does they defile the flesh, but look what it says else about them. They despise dominion. And dominion means, you know, authority. You know, this. You know, I'm out of my dominion. I'm out of my district. I'm out of my place of authority. Well, dominion means a constituted authority. It means a rule. They despise authority. They despise the rule. And to despise means to set aside something that's been established. Well, this is the authority that's been established. This is the dominion, God's dominion. The dominion of Christ is over the whole. His dominion is from everlasting to everlasting. And God's got a dominion and a set up authority in this world. And these fellows, they despise that. This established authority, this established rule, they despise it. And they fight against it. They rebel against it. And they want to be the ones that has the authority and the power and the rule. They're like Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence and would forbid those others to have it. And so they reject and they set aside God's constituted authority. Now you keep Jude. Look over here with me in 2 Peter chapter 2 just a moment. They set aside God's authority. First thing they set aside, because they filthy dreamers, they set aside God's Word. Set aside God's Word. Do you know how many men in this world get up without a Bible and just get up with a notebook or get up with just some kind of outline or get up with a bunch of anecdotes and illustrations? And have them a few jokes and have folks laugh and take 15 or 20 minutes and entertain people. They're filthy men. filthy men, traitors to God, traitors to the Scripture, traitors to the men's soul, butchers of men's souls, despisers of dominion and authority. And just laugh about it and reject it and make light of it. What do you say? They use lightness. They don't understand the authority. They don't understand the power. They don't understand the rule. They don't understand the sovereignty. They don't understand the power of God in His Word. That everything God does, He does by His Word and the Holy Spirit. And oh, God, help us. Help me and help every preacher you know. And help your children and tell them, if you're going to go anyplace, go someplace where they carry their Bibles and they listen to the Word of God. And they'll show you in the Scriptures that it's so. You can look at it. Turn with me and look at this. That's what a preacher who wants you to understand the Scriptures says. You turn here. I got no dreams to tell. And if I did, they wouldn't be... That just don't even make sense. But that's what they do. Look over here in what Peter said in verse 10. 2 Peter 2:10. Here he describes the same kind of people, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. And watch this. Despise government. Despise government. And over in the margin it says, despise dominion. Presumptuous are they. Here's what they are. Self-willed. They're not even afraid to speak evil of dignities. Oh, listen. God's authority. God's... These men trust dreams rather than the Word of God. They become a law unto themselves. And you know God has a order of authority. He has a dominion set up in this world. An order of authority. We're going to go by God's authority or else. And let me give it to you quickly. First of all, And I could turn to these Scriptures, but I won't. But in 1 Corinthians 11:3, it says that Christ is the head of every man. Man is the head of every woman. And God is the head of Christ. Now that's the order that God set. And that's why the order is that first of all, Christ is the head over every one of us. And the head means He's the one that has the dominion. He has the authority. You know, they say, He's the head. You want to see the head? I want to see the boss. Well, the head man's in that office back there. That's what they'll say. He's the boss. He's the head man. Well, Christ is the head over every one of us. Man's head over woman. And that means, beloved, that God set it up in such a way that man is to provide for woman. He took her out of his side, not out of his head where she's equal, not out of his feet where she's under his feet, but out of his side where she can be beside. That's the first thing. And secondly, beloved, then you have the parent. You have husbands and wives. And He said, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. And wives, see that you be in subjection to your husband as unto the Lord. Now, all the men always say, well, my wives are supposed to be under subjection. But it also says, their husbands, love your wives, even as you love your... Christ loved the church. I might have told you this before, but John Newton, when his wife died, she died of cancer. And if I remember right, when I read about it, he preached on Wednesday night, went in her room, and she died that night. And he stayed with her till she died. And he mourned her and mourned her and mourned her and mourned her until one man, told another preacher, says, I'm afraid that Brother Newton loved his wife way too much. And that man rebuked him. He says, loved her too much. How can you love your wife too much? Do you reckon he loved her more than Christ loved the church? So how do you love, you know, how much did Christ love us? Gave everything He had for us. Put His life on the line for us. Poured out His blood for us. Shed tears for us. Agony of soul for us. Went under the wrath of God for us. Tasted death for us. Bore sin in His own body for us. And rose again from the dead for our justification. Sits now at God's right hand to intercede for us. And oh, and if you wise would understand that, you'd say, oh, and if we loved our wives like that, our wives, beloved, would have no problem saying, honey, what do you want? Honey, what do you need? What can I do for you? That's one authority. And there's people that despise that. Just absolutely despise it. I'm not going to be under subjection to no man. My wife's going to obey me or else. They don't want to go by God's order. And then there's the parent over the child. It says, children, obey your parents. Honor your parents. When it says obey your parents, and this is why you do it, they are in God's stead over you. God put parents in His stead over you. They're responsible for you, responsible for your education, responsible for your health, responsible to clothe you, love you, train you, discipline you. And the Scriptures not only means when it says obey your parents, that means to honor them, exalt them, and hold them in the highest esteem. And oh, you see, beloved, that's what it means. And there's children, they despise that. And the first opportunity they get, they want out from under that. But don't despise though God gave you a parent, a mother, and a daddy that loves you, and gets you the clothes you want, and gets you a good education, and takes care of you. And when they have to discipline you, take that discipline and thank God for it. That's how you grow up. And then there's the masters, and everybody in here works for somebody, don't they? Everybody in here has to work for somebody else, or they have in time. Masters and servants. There's somebody work for somebody else. He said, now I'll tell you what you do. When you work for another man, don't you give them eye service. You serve them as if you're serving the Lord Himself. That's what He said. You work just like you're working for Christ. Don't do eye service. When the boss is around, you get real, real busy. And when he leaves, you sit down on your bucket. Don't do that. You treat that man just like you're working for the master, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ paying you. And you masters, he says, you understand this, you treat their servant right. Don't you get wealthy on his back. Don't you give him half of what he's worth. Don't you mistreat him because you have a master in heaven too, you know. Huh? And then there's this pastors and church leaders. That's a dominion. Some people despise that. But he says, count them of double honor who serve in the Lord, who serve in the Word, who preach the Word. And obey them that have the rule over you as they that give an account for your soul. Those are some constituted authorities that God gives us in this world. And don't despise those. Don't despise those. And then look what it says. Not only do they despise dominion, but they speak evil of dignities. You notice that's in little, it's a small d. And what that word speak evil means to slander, to scoff at. And I think because of the next verse, he's talking about the angels, the glorious ones. Because he's talking about the next verse, they speak evil of dignities. And yet Michael, the archangel, he uses an illustration here. I think he's actually talking about angels here. Because he says, you know, we were made just a little lower than the angels. And when these men were rebuked for their behavior, somebody would rebuke them for their behavior and tell them, and rebuke them and chastise them and tell them what to do. They would get angry and they would despise the dominion. They'd scoff at it. When they were told that they would share in the devil's condemnation, that they'd face the same judgment that the angels had sinned, had failed, that they would go to the same hell, that they'd go into the same condemnation, that they were actually going to share in the devil's condemnation itself. They laughed at it, scoffed at it. They denied that the devil had any power over them. Why, he can't do nothing to us. He ain't got any power over us. Well, let me show you something over here in 2 Timothy. You know, when you put it in its context, and that's what he's talking about, this speaking evil of these dignities. You know, when Satan came before God, and God said, where are you going, Satan? He said, I'm going to and fro, seeking whom I may devour. You know, and he said, well, have you considered my servant Job? And God let him at him. You don't find anybody in the Scriptures except Christ And he didn't know it. And here we have, he said here in verse 2 Timothy 2:24, it says this, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive." That means arguing, debate, and quarrel with people. "But be gentle unto all, apt to teach, patient, forbearing, enduring, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves." You know, people outside of Christ oppose themselves. "And if God peradventure, if God maybe will perhaps will give them repentance to the acknowledge of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." You remember that strong man arm? His goods was in his palace and his goods was safe until a stronger man arm came and took him away from him. I tell you what, everybody's taken captive by the devil, and as long as the devil's got a feller, I mean, his goods are safe. He's got that person right where he wants him until somebody stronger comes along and takes away his goods and spoils them. And that's what Jesus says, "You know, you men that despise this to men, you filthy dreamers, you deniers, you ungodliness, you lasciviousness, you grace miserable, wretched men, with all the things you do with your dreams and your visions and your filthiness and your scoffing and your slander," he says, "you're going to fall into the condemnation of the devil. You're going to go to hell just like those fellows are." No. Ain't no way. That ain't going to happen to us. Well, he goes like this. "Yet Michael," and he illustrates their proud arrogance by pointing out two of the highest ranking angels in this world, and one of them's Michael the archangel, and the other Satan that fell. "Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, 'The Lord rebuked thee.'" Now what's he saying here? He says that Michael himself didn't speak evil of the devil. Michael himself never railed on the devil. He says, "The Lord rebuke you." And all and what it means here is in this, here's Michael. You can find Michael over in Daniel chapter 10, I believe it is. And there he is, and he's Moses. All it tells us about the death of Moses, the burial of Moses, is that he is up on Mount Nebo, and God took him and buried him. That's all we know about him. Now, I read some things about it. Some people say they found some writings in some apocryphal writings. They found some historical things and this, that, and the other. And they said what happened was that Michael was going to take Moses' body and take it and bury it someplace. And the devil withstood Michael and started arguing with him and disputing with him and says, "Moses does not deserve an honorable burial. He does not deserve the kind of burying that you're going to give him for God to bury, because he committed murder. He murdered that Egyptian and buried him in the sand. He smoked that rock twice. He wasn't even fit to go into the promised land." And they began to argue about Moses' body, whether or not it should be buried at this place or shouldn't be buried at all. That he had dominion over it. And so Michael's the archangel, Satan was the chief of the devils, and they're disputing about it. But I'll tell you this much. Whenever it wasn't slander, what it was, that Michael did not slander the devil. The devil was slandering Michael and slandering Moses, speaking evil of Moses, speaking evil of Moses and his dignity. And Michael wouldn't tolerate it. And he says, "May the Lord rebuke you," the devil. That's what he says, "The Lord rebuke you." Michael didn't slander the devil. And if the highest angel, two archangels in Scripture, Michael and Gabriel, if the highest angel wouldn't slander and scoff the authority of the chief of the devils, what fools these men are to scoff or slander angels or any authority and power that's over them. And that's what happened here. But they speak evil of all authority. But he's using that just as an illustration that the highest archangel wouldn't even slander the highest Beelzebub, the devil, the chief of the devils. Now look what it says here in verse 10. This is amazing to me. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. They're just speaking evil and they don't know what in the world they're talking about. Don't it aggravate you? Let me ask you this. You've heard people talking about things that they didn't know what they're talking about and how it aggravates you. Well, these folks spoke evil of things that they didn't have a clue what they're talking about. And what's not only that, but what they know naturally. As brute beasts and those things, they corrupt themselves. These false teachers, these heretics, have no understanding of the spiritual realm. None whatsoever. They're natural men speaking about things they know nothing about, speaking evil about things they don't know anything about. They don't know about this power of God. They don't know about the power of Christ. They don't know about the power of grace. They don't know about the power of the Word. They don't know about the power of God's authority. And they, beloved, speak evil of those things. And watch what he says here. And all, beloved, they claim to have a revelation from God by dreams and visions. And yet, it says here, they speak evil of those things that they don't even know nothing about. And you know what they know, and here's what they do know. What they know naturally. Have no spiritual understanding at all. What they know naturally. And what's this? And as brute beast, they give in to the lowest common denominator that's in them. As brute beast. Do you know what they know naturally? Just like an animal. That's what God's viewing them as. Brute beast here. And let me show you again over here in 2 Peter. Look in chapter 2 Peter 2:12. They lower themselves to the level of brute beast. You know, and you've got so many illustrations in the book of Acts. The way those scribes and Pharisees, the way they and the Sadducees and Pharisees treated the Apostle Paul and the rest of the apostles, they didn't think it was wrong to speak evil of those men, despise those men, put those men in jail. Korah and Dathan and Abram, they didn't think it was wrong to stand up and despise Moses and his authority. And tell him, Moses, we're as holy as you are, and we want to have a say in what goes on around here. We want to have as much power, we want to have as much authority and make decisions and everything goes on. And Moses, you're not the only one that's holy around here, you know. You're not the only one God uses. You're not the only one to understand some things. The next day, Moses said, everybody's on the Lord's side, get over here. The rest of you fellas, get over there. About that time, the earth opened up. Destroyed 250 people, kids and all. They spoke evil of things they didn't know. They was looking at things naturally. And they was destroyed like brute beasts. And here, look what it says here in 2 Peter 2:12. Well, but it says there, look in verse 11. Where they speak, not afraid to speak evil of divinities, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. And that's what he says. It's like natural brute beasts. Back over here in our text. And it says this, when men reject, scoff, and slander God's Word, go by their own dreams and visions and self-will, have their own authority and authority under themselves. They live by self-law, self-will. It's like trying to reason with an animal, trying to reason with a beast. And that's what he says. They're just like natural men. They're like a beast. And you can't reason with a beast. Can't do it. And these folk, and they said they'll corrupt themselves. And you know what the Scripture said? God said this about over in Hosea 4:7. It says, Ephraim, Joseph's two boys. Joseph didn't have a tribe because he died down in Egypt. But his two sons, he had Manasseh and Ephraim. And they was split a tribe. A half a tribe. Ephraim had a half of a tribe, Manasseh had a half of a tribe. Ephraim was the one that was loved. Oh, he was loved. Spoken often of him. But it says that Ephraim has turned to his idols. Some dreamer got a hold of him. Some false prophet got a hold of him. Somebody with a vision got a hold of him, and he turned to an idol and got him an idol and hugged it to his chest like that. And you know what God said about him? Leave him alone. And if a man wants to be like a brute, be self-willed, have a law unto himself and scars and divides dominion, and won't subject himself to God, God's word, and God's order in this world, leave him alone. Leave him alone. Our Father, in the blessed, glorious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we deal with some awesome truths here tonight. Truths that make our soul tremble. And yet, Lord, we need to hear them. We need to face them. And Lord, we know that there's people that we know and love. They reject all authority. They despise dominion. They speak evil of dignities. They have no sense of right and wrong. They're law unto themselves. They don't want to be told about God. Don't want to be told about Christ. Don't want to be told about their need of Christ. Don't want to be told about their sinfulness, their inability, and their powerlessness. And when they're told, they scoff, they slander, they laugh. And oh Lord, as this world swirls around us and staggers like a drunk man, just barely staggering along, teetering and tottering, stumbling and falling, and almost to the point of falling over. God, help us to be lights, to be witnesses, to hold forth the Word of God, the Word of life, to be true to our Master, to be true to our Lord Jesus Christ, to be true to the souls of men when we have an opportunity to speak to them or speak about them. Help us, please, to glorify Your holy name. We ask it in His name, Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. 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 Thank You, Lord, for